You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Joe Iconis here.
Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
And this is our podcast where we talk all about my brand new album, Album.
Today we're going to be talking about the song Ammonia, sung by Heidi Blickenstaff.
Yeah, the first time the song has ever been properly recorded, and we have lots and lots to say about it. So give it a listen.
To beat malaise, I think I'll clean.
Here we are. Let's talk about Ammonia, which It's just like, it's an epic opus of a song. Where do we even start with Ammonia?
I don't know. I mean, it's just very long. I'm someone who like writes very long songs. And Ammonia is one of my longest.
Is it the longest on the album? It's one of the three. I feel like I'm doing the Broadway theaters in my head now of like, what's the largest?
Yeah. I feel like Ammonia very well could be the longest. I think it actually is. Yeah. Yeah. We're like in like full blown 8 minute territory.
And it's the third track, so we're really going big very quickly.
Yeah, you know, I sort of like that it's in the first few tracks on the album, just because I think that it's if someone were to listen to the whole thing in order, it really like lets the listener know what they're in for, which is just an overwhelming amount of music, like just like overblown. But also it's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, it's the sort of song that I feel like typically is like the kind of song you get like three from the end of whatever the piece of art happens to be, you know, whether it's like the 11 o'clock number or it's like, you know, like the sort of like surprise big song on a, like an Arcade Fire album or something. but it's, there's so many songs like that on this album. You know, it's like, there's so many like 11 o'clock numbers on the album that, you know, saving it just would have been like, well, there's another, you know, 7.5 minute song ready to take its spot. So it felt like, let's just like kick her
throw
off.
Throw it in.
Yeah.
So Ammonia is sung by the great Heidi Blickenstaff.
Yeah.
Of so many things, of title of show, of The Little Mermaid, of Jagged Little Pill recently, a million things that Heidi has been in. How did that start, pray tell?
Well, you know, Heidi is, she was sort of the, you know, one of the inspirations for the song itself. And so I wrote this song in 2010, and I wrote it, you know, as a standalone song. It's not from any larger piece. And I premiered it at the Beachman in July of 2010.
I remember it well.
Yeah, me too.
It was August, I think.
Me too. Was it August?
Yeah. We did four shows that summer, and it was like a special guest, a different special guest at each one.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Heidi was, I think, one of the August ones.
She was. And it was, you know, a lot of times in my life, I have had a song that's sort of been in the back of my brain, and then I'll have a concert, you know, programmed, and it'll be the kind of thing where it's like, oh man, I really would love to like, you know, premiere the song at the concert. It's like the booking the concert then sort of like gives me the like kick in the pants to write the actual tune. And that was very much the case with Ammonia. And I had for years had this idea for a song that was going to be a person who was getting high off cleaning products as they were cleaning the house, unintentionally sort of getting high as they were cleaning the house. And I had the phrase, ammonia, the, you know, ammonia, how you take the pain away. Like I had that in my brain and in a Word doc. And it just sort of lived, and I never quite knew what the larger story was. Mm-hmm. And so at one time, when I first started writing it, I was like, maybe it's like a college student. Maybe it's about like a, you know, a college student like studying for an exam. It was one of those things where it was like, I feel like it was, you know, the when I first started, it became very much like I was maybe trying to like be like, okay, I have this idea of, you know, this person getting high off cleaning products, and how does it fit into sort of like, you know, the musical theater standalone cabaret songs of the day, you know, and it's like overworked college student. And it's like taking this idea of like, oh, the overworked college student who actually is like getting high on cleaning products and sort of turning it on its head. But as soon as I got into it, it felt like, oh, this song wants to be more about someone who has lived a little bit. I like the idea of it being a character who wasn't, you know, in their 20s, someone who was, you know, probably in their 40s or you know, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, who knows. But then I started really getting excited about it being a kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, housewife, or this idea of a housewife and this person who's kind of trapped in this suburban life, which is something that, you know, there's certainly been countless pieces of art about a person who's trapped in like their, you know, suburban life and they want to get out of it. But I felt like, oh, this could be a really cool way to tell that story. And so, you know, when sort of imagining who might sing a song like this, Heidi was always kind of like in the back of my brain. And so then I asked her if she wanted to be a special guest at one of these Beachman shows, and she said she did. And that just felt like, oh man, this would be such, if I could write this song in time for this show, it would be so cool to have her premiere this specific song. And so that was the thing that made me be like, I gotta finish it. And so I did. And so once I actually started writing it for real, I wrote it relatively quickly. It was one of those songs that kind of like, once I got into it, I was like, oh, I know where this is going. I kind of know how this is gonna end. And then
it ends well.
It does not end well. And yeah, and so Heidi was the first person to ever sing it. And she, you know, and there was no sheet music for this song. Like, she came over to my apartment and you know, learned it from a lyric sheet, and we met a few times. And then she, you know, performed it at the Beachman. And it's like a video that's like sort of taken on legendary status amongst videos of my work. Because it's just such an insane performance.
It's one of the craziest things about this song and this track on the album to me is like, Heidi premiered it in 2010.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh my God, that was so perfect. That was so incredible. It was like, we were almost scared to touch it. Like, I don't, I know Heidi was. Heidi was like, oh God, yeah. I don't know if I can ever totally recreate that again.
Yeah.
So even though it's been performed over the years by a couple other folks, including Krista Rodriguez, there's some amazing drag queen versions of Ammonia that lip sync to Heidi.
Yeah.
Heidi didn't actually do it again until she was recording it for the album, I don't think.
Yeah, no, her...
Like 11 years later.
Yes, Heidi's performance on album of Ammonia is the second time she has sung the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
I know. It's like, it's really surreal. And, you know, and when she came in to record it, it was, you know, we recorded the album obviously during the pandemic. And so we had this sensation over the recording sessions of not only being excited to have people come into the studio to sing their song, but in so many instances we were seeing people for the first time in, you know, in a year and a half or 2 years even. And Heidi, it was like that. And it was so weird to be like, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. How are you? And then she sings this song. The last time she sang, it was 11 years ago. And it really felt, we were all just kind of like, we're in some strange time warp situation.
It was so weird.
Here. Yeah.
I also can't let this moment pass without saying the Ammonia video, the original, which is so many views and is so epic, gave birth to a thing that has like lived on in infamy and iconic and family, which is our collaborator and friend Lance Rubin, who's also featured on many tracks on this album, was in the back as Heidi was singing, as you know, and was just kind of like everyone was, like lurking and watching and amazed by Heidi, but kind of making like a weird gremlin face almost by accident. And so now anytime anyone lurks in the background of a video or even a performance, we call it Rubening. For that video, which the comments on YouTube from so many people that don't know Lance are like, who's that guy in the background? Like, what a weird gremlin he is.
I feel like, sorry, Lance,
I keep calling you a gremlin.
It's appropriate, but I feel like we really learned a thing or two about framing.
Yes.
And because of that video. But you know, it's one of those songs where I'm so proud of the song. It's one of my favorite things I've ever written. It really is. And it, And it is a song that, like, it's the ultimate in the collaboration between the song and Heidi Blickenstaff is just something that it elevates it, you know, and it's like a, I can listen to it, I can listen to her performance, and I can sort of remove myself from it and feel like, oh, I'm so honored to have like any connection to that performance. You know, it's like not even that she's singing my song. It's just, it's really, it's really a wild thing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And, you know, I really, really love the woman who sings it, that character. You know, she doesn't have a name. It's just, it says, you know, the woman on the lyric sheet for the tune. And her sort of resentment is something that I find almost admirable, the way she's able to articulate it. You know, and that song, I feel like I've had to talk about that song a whole bunch because it's one that people are always, you know, interested in hearing about, because it is this, like, it's like, why would you write this, you know, this like almost 10-minute long, you know, song that was performed once at a concert and then like barely ever again. And so people are always curious about that character and the circumstances and everything. And the thing that I'm the most proud of in that song is that I feel like a lot of songs like that, or a lot of pieces of art, you know, like Ammonia, where it's sort of this person who's trapped in this situation and that they don't want to be in, and they go through this, you know, this crazy experience, and then they usually at the end they're supposed to like learn something about themselves and then, you know, change their behavior. Like that's supposed to be like they've had this epiphany, and we know it's an epiphany because like the music changes, and then there's a big chorus, and then at the end of the big chorus, it's like they're gonna you know, march on, and they're not gonna do drugs anymore, or they're gonna start loving their children again, or and I really love that in Ammonia, it's she has that moment of realization, and then she like doubles down on what she's doing, you know, and that is kind of like the triumph and for her, it does feel like a triumph, you know, because I think she's addicted to this, you know, it's less, I think, that she's addicted to, you know, literally the getting high off of the fumes. And I think it's like, who's to say if she even is actually getting high, or if she's just using it as an excuse to, you know, be unbridled and go insane every single day for, you know, for a few hours. But I, you know, she knows that it's a temporary fix. And I really like that the character says that she says, you know, it's only, you know, it's not genuine elation. It's temporary. She knows it's temporary. And in spite of that, or because of that, she's like, it's temporary. It's not a real fix. And I want it. I want the fix. And I'm not putting it away. I'm not a character who
changes.
I don't want it. And I want to keep doing this, and I'm going to keep doing it. And it's the only thing that brings me joy, you know? And it's like, and I love that, like, you know, when she's talking about her daughter, that it's the sense of like, it's like the lessons that she wants to teach her daughter. Like the lesson isn't like, you know, follow your heart or, you know, any of that. It's just like, it's like a look at me, look at what I am. This is because I compromise. Don't compromise. Yeah. You know, like that's the only lesson that she wants to impart in the song. And I think all of that stuff is stuff that was kind of like floating around my head at the time. And I just like the way it found its way into this, this strange suburban tune.
I never thought of this until what you just said, but I feel like in 20 years, you're going to pull out a song for the daughter, like the grown daughter, the sister song for Ammonia. It is a song that turns a lot of tropes on its head, which I think is something a lot of people respond to in it. So excited for more people to hear it. It's still strange for me to listen to the track, though, and not hear the laughter that I'm used to from the YouTube video. Like, I'm so used to. Very grateful to have a real recording studio version.
Yeah. The one thing like that from that YouTube video that I always think of, it's the very end. And when she sings, like, the last line, I think it's Jason Williams who goes, yeah. A very genuine, you know, like, reaction, shout of approval.
Yeah.
I was like, I hear that in the back of my brain when I listen to the track. But, you know, something else that I think is cool about the track is that, you know, obviously this one recording of Ammonia that people you know if they know the song. And as you said, it's Chris Rodriguez and Lorinda Lisitz, I think, are the only
two people
who, like, literally ever sang the song. But that original version of it, it's just piano. It's like straight up, you know, piano only. And so for this recording, it was like, let's do something that is, you know, the opposite of that. Let's let the song itself sort of dictate the sonic world that we want to be in. And you know, Charlie Rosen, my frequent collaborator, he, you know, did this orchestration that is so enormous. It's like as big as anything on the album. You know, just from like number of players, like there's a full string section and a full horn section and a full rock band and many other, you know, clicks and whistles and assorted nonsense. But I love that the hugeness of the vocal performance is matched by the hugeness and the sweep of the orchestration.
Totally.
You know?
And for people who are listening to their album in order, this is the first time that they hear those big string and horn sections, you know, which you get to hear throughout the album and not always at these concerts in person.
Yeah.
Just huge sound.
Just, yeah, humongous. And it's like, I'd like to think that it's, tastefully distasteful, some of the hugeness of the choices, you know, but it's like, with any of the songs on the album, you know, we didn't want to hold back, you know. It wasn't about, I think in early discussions, we were like, should we try to make the sound uniform from track to track? How important is it for there to be a cohesion to the literal sounds of all of these different recordings? And it just, you know, we sort of arrived at, these songs are so different. The musical styles are so eclectic. You know, when I write shows, the shows sound like themselves. Right. And when I write songs, the songs sound like themselves. And we just were like, let's just see what happens if we kind of let the songs tell us how they want themselves to sound.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And I think because of that, there is like a weird cohesion, you know. And it's like the fact that, yeah, like Ammonia is the third song on the album and it's the first time you're hearing these massive, you know, sections. But it's, there are just so many, like, you know, peaks and valleys on the album, like the songs, both the, you know, the content and the style and all of that. It's, you know, there's like high highs and low lows. It really is sort of like a manic album in that way. It feels like once you get to the end of it, it all kind of hangs together, you know. I hope it all I think makes sense.
Yeah. I do continue to have a fever dream that Lauren Marcus performed it. Like, it's in my dream, though. Like, she never has done Ammonia.
Lauren Marcus has never sung Ammonia.
It's because, ever. And this is, like, always fascinating to me, but when we were doing the Jonathan Larson project and we discovered Hosing the Furniture, which you had never heard before, we discovered that was very much a sister song to Ammonia, and, of course, that's Lauren's song. So, for me, I just keep picturing her singing it on a stage, and I'm like, I imagined this because of Hosing the Furniture.
No, you did. You imagined it.
Lauren, you better sing Ammonia soon. That's my message to Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah, I've like seen her sing it, you know, around the house.
Sure. While she's cleaning, I guess.
Yeah. Right. But what's so wild is that Ammonia is so, I feel like, spiritually, you know, connected to Hosing the Furniture, but I had never heard Hosing the Furniture. before I wrote him on you. And it was so, it, like, the first time I heard Cousin Furniture truly was like, oh my God. Like, it was shocking.
You were communing with Jonathan Larson.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly, yeah. Yeah. Which I love.
Yeah. Ammonia.
Ammonia.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching to my podcast. Do me a favor and go to wherever you just listen to or watch this thing and subscribe or like or give us a great rating or review, and then head to bpn.fm/album to find out even more information about this podcast, more ways to watch, more ways to listen, and check out my album. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Album Podcast is executive produced by Liz Armstrong, produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Kim Garris, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Be sure to visit bpn.fm/album for both audio and video versions of this podcast and to listen to Album.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.